shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about as we slowly but surely pull ourselves out of this pit of muck that has been affecting my, literally my ability to make a living, this laryngitis that even as of Sunday, actually even as of last night was still, and you can still hear it, bedeviling the voice a little bit. And I can only tell you that there's a summer virus that's going around. People are getting hit differently, but it's definitely one of those summers that this hasn't been like any summer I've ever had. You know.
Well, you're croaking it out. It's way different.
Well, I'm croaking it out is right. However, I think it's getting better, but it's the slowest process of getting rid of a laryngitis or bronchitis that I've ever been through in my life. So, and you can well imagine that's like a it's an occupational hazard. Nonetheless, here we are, and very, very grateful to be here. And we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We've got a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And if we don't do it, who is going to do it? Because that's where that's at, and I don't want to get any further into it. I'm going to be paneling at the National Association of Broadcasters, and it will be on that particular day that I will fire all cannons at the broadcasters in attendance.
Really?
Yeah, I'm kidding. Although, wouldn't that be fun? Well, I may drop a couple of insolent remarks. Anyway, the violence in London seems to be coming to an end. We're going to talk with Bobby and Steve Dooley, a couple from the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles, who've just returned from 2 weeks visiting the United Kingdom, and we're right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of this spate of domestic violence, if you will, that occurred in Great Britain, and they're going to talk to us about it. Plus, Vernon Dozier is going to join us to discuss motivating his athletes and the forthcoming school year. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And in our affiliate spotlight tonight on WDTW in Detroit, that's where we are. We're on WDTW in Detroit and also in Woodward, Oklahoma, brand new affiliate KMZE, and you can also listen to us and watch us at philhendryshow.com, where right now we're on Phil TV and HD, high-definition video on your computer screen. It's a beautiful picture, and behind me, the rolling El Pacifico surf, and we also had some DDR roll earlier of the Santa Susana Historic Pass Park, otherwise known as the former site of Spahn Ranch.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you know people that are into that stuff, you find that you're out taking pictures of those things. 877-876-PHIL, the number, and coming on with us from Western Estates, California, to talk about being in the midst of this very, very, this ugly and unfortunate and heartbreaking series of events in the United Kingdom, in London, Bobby and Steve Dooley. And Bobby, how are you?
We're a little bit shaken, Phil.
I can imagine.
But we're doing well, and we're so very, very grateful to be back in the United States. And we're not saying that the United States is perfect, but given what the good people of Great Britain are going through right now, I guess I'd just rather be here.
No, I don't blame you at all.
Than over there.
Tell us what your original plan was, the fact you did cut your vacation short. You were going over for what?
We were going over, Phil, for the wedding of one of Steve's workers, a young man that works for Steve, who had married a young lady from Wiltshire, Steve? Yeah, a little town called Wiltshire, and they were getting married. We'd gone over for the wedding, and indeed the wedding was a week ago on Sunday, and we decided to stay for another, week and a half. And we decided to relocate up into London. And that's where we were. We were staying over at the Tower Hotel, which is near the Tower of London. We got the first reports that there was some trouble this past weekend, Saturday. Steve came in. You'd been to...
This breakfast has been out of paper. And everything like that.
Oh, yeah, he had seen it.
He saw what? He saw in the news, sir?
Well, I saw the newspaper and seen a smoke.
Steve came in and told me that he saw smoke. He heard sirens. he saw a lot of police cars, Steve.
Yeah, a lot of
police
cars. If you've ever heard about it.
Police cars in Great Britain. Do that again, Steve.
Don't do that.
Well, yeah, the police cars in the United States, I think, are taking to, have taken to doing that as well. It's a siren that they used in Europe, and we didn't use it here in the United States.
What is that, Steve?
Well, they go, because it's the England.
No, I understand that. What I guess I was trying to say is I think that that type of siren cuts through noise, or it can be heard easier than the, you know, the one that we have.
Yeah, here in the United States, we have the siren that, well, Phil, you just said it, Phil, probably better than I can.
Yeah, it's just kind of like a wailing siren.
Yeah, it goes like, and then the other, but one thing too, Mr. Henry, the Doppler effect. He was talking about
the Doppler effect.
No, I know about the Doppler effect. What I'd like to do, yeah, you mean the Doppler effect when the noise gets closer to you?
Yeah, do it, Steve.
And it's not a Doppler.
Okay, great. But that's not really what we're talking about.
No, it's not. I guess in a lot of ways, Phil, we've been trying to find some humor in a lot of what has happened because after going through a very traumatic experience in witnessing this beautiful city of London, and it really is a gorgeous, gorgeous city. It
really is, yeah.
Have you been there?
Yes, I have a few times, and I love London. It's a great city. It's historic. Like you say, it's got all of the big city things to do, the great restaurants, a lot of history, and I like it. If I had the money, I'd love to have a flat?
Yeah, they call it a flat. They call it a flat.
They call the apartment a flat.
They call it a flat. I told him already, Steve, and my husband and I, we've been through a lot, Phil. And
well, I can imagine.
When we got home, we were greeted by people in our own community, people here at Western Estates, parents of the children of our kids' friends, and I was absolutely devastated by their reactions to Steve and I as we shared what we'd been through.
And what do you mean?
I mean, there wasn't one bit of sympathy. There wasn't any understanding. We were met with recrimination. Now, let me explain to you what happened. The looting took place, Steve, on the very first night, right?
Yeah.
We went out onto the Strand, which is a main east-west artery. And we had gone out because it looked as if the police, or either the police had gotten things under control, or the crowds, the looters, had moved further to the west. So we went out walking, and there were a number of other people sort of following along in the wake of what was going on.
And you were not worried? I can't hear him. Can you?
I'll do it, Steve. We were not worried because the rioters, the people that were involved in the disturbance, seemed to be several blocks in front of us.
Okay.
Steve saw a store. There were beautiful leather jackets. Absolutely gorgeous leather jackets, men's jackets that were suit cut. Others were bomber jacket style. Absolutely gorgeous, beautiful soft leather, right, Steve?
Yeah, really soft leather, the kind you don't want to do. If you go down to Hilton Wilson's House of Swain.
Let me have the phone.
You know what? What I need for just you to talk, Ms. Dooley.
Yeah, he wants me to talk.
Nice.
The windows in this store, so you understand, Phil. What we saw were these jackets, and also there were women's purses and handbags. The windows are gone. The door is gone. I want to make this very, very clear. There was absolutely no lock. There was nothing that said, don't come in here, because obviously it had been, the windows had been broken in. And really, Phil, at that point, you make a judgment. I don't know if you've ever been in a riot, and God forbid you are ever in a riot, because Steve and I experienced this firsthand.
Right.
God forbid it ever happens to you, but if it does, your first instinct is to say, my God, this is someone's business. The windows and the doors have been smashed in. The valuable content of their store is exposed. And really, as a law-abiding citizen and as someone who has owned businesses, my first thought was we've got to somehow take possession of those items. And the first thing people say to you when we got back and we told them what happened, do you think you were looting? My God, Phil, I...
Well, I'm not saying that you were looting.
But, Phil, I have never been more insulted in my life. And literally, when Janice Greeley said it to me, she's a very good friend. When she said that to me, don't you feel you were looting? My God, I took a step back as if I really...
Well, it was the angina.
There was a little bit of angina. I had a chest pain because I get that when my blood pressure goes up. And I thought, my God, I've never, ever been accused of something like that by a friend of mine. And what I know about her and the checkered path of her life. And I said it to her. I said, you sleep around.
Wait, hold on for a minute. I don't want to know the particulars of your friend or whatever problems that you two have. You know,
so she is saying to me, don't you think you were looting?
Now, well, what you did was you took these jackets from the store.
We got the jackets from the store, Mr. Henry.
To protect them.
Yeah.
Because we took these jackets.
Well, were you going to, did you bring them back?
We brought back one. We brought back the jacket and we brought back a purse. And we brought that back because it was a reward. The rest of the merchandise we left at the hotel.
You brought back a jacket?
We brought back the bomber and the... And the suit coat, and I had a... And there were two really cute purses I liked. That was our reward. All right. Now, I know the store didn't give it to us. I know that we, if you will, we awarded ourselves. But I told Janice all of this. And what I got from her was, do you think you're looting? And I said to her, I said, my God, for a woman that has slept around so much, the fact that you don't have uterine cancer.
Oh, come on. This is not any of our business. And I don't see how any of this is germane. You know?
Well, it is germane when you accuse a friend of yours of looting.
All right. Let me take a break.
There's an awful lot more I want to say.
We don't want the impression left out of Wilson's House of Suede.
What has Wilson's House of Suede got to do with this?
We don't want the impression that the jackets came from Wilson, that we looted Wilson's House of Suede. This was a very good store.
No, I understand. All right, hold the line here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Bobby and Steve Dooley, who were in London, saw a store's windows broken in and went in and grabbed some merchandise. They don't see that as looting. They see it as protecting the merchandise, taking it away from looters. But when they got back here to the United States, their friends have pretty much ostracized them and have called them thieves. Now, I don't know if it stops here or where it goes, but we're going to get back to talking with them. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I could go either way. Well, I couldn't go either way on this. I understand they're trying to protect the merchandise, but they also brought back two jackets and a couple of leather purses, which they say was their reward. Their reward. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Wilson's House of Suede.
CD.org. That's copingstrategiescd.org.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-7445.
And welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Bobby and Steve Dooley, the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're talking to them about their recent trip to Great Britain. And I know that you have come back, Bobby, and you have encountered, you and Steve have encountered some recrimination. Now, the story, you know, the experience you had there, and I'm grateful that you're safe.
You know something, Phil? Thank you, because that was not even, there wasn't anyone that we spoke with when we got back here to the United States that even had the common decency and the common courage to say, thank God you're safe. because, first of all, people are very jealous of the fact that you have the money to travel. I know that America is going through very difficult times economically. I know that Great Britain is. But we are blessed, you know, and I knock on wood, we're blessed. We have the money to travel. We have the money to live well, and we do. We don't throw it up in people's faces. When I came back with Steve after the trip to London, and I said to Janice Greeley that I had a beautiful handbag for her, and she found out in a roundabout way that we had taken it from the store. I said it was a reward that I'd given myself. And
wait a minute, you tried to give your friend this handbag. Now, what are people saying?
They're saying that we looted. They say that we were part of this crowd. No, we weren't. Number one, it was very obvious, I think, to anyone that we were not part of this rabble. These are people from the neighborhood. They were people that looked desperate, and they looked young, and they looked violent, and they had the masks, Steve.
Yeah, they were ready to wear masks over their face.
But they were wearing the masks, and they were throwing stones. We were not involved in any of that. And so for Janice to say to me, were you one of the looters? You know, I looked at her and I said, are you for real? Do I look like one of, you know, the...
Yeah, we don't look like that.
There's a very distinct look on these people. I don't know if you've seen these people, Phil.
You know what? It's almost like you're saying these people on purpose.
I'm sorry, forgive me.
Well, I know that you don't mean it, but when you say these people, you know, that has a very charged... There's a sort of a charged other thing. I think people can't articulate it when they got upset with H. Ross Perot and he said, you people, your people. And they said, well, why is that racist? The only reason why I think it's perceived as racist is there is a psychological term called the other. And some people are locked into a psychological self-view as being the other. In other words, they're not part of, they're the other. And we've only identified this in the last few decades. And so I think when you say you people...
Phil, can I interrupt you?
Go ahead.
I wanted to get on with the story. I know what you're saying. I really appreciate that, but I wanted to get on with the story because, and I'll tell you why, and I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I'm fighting for my reputation here. I have a woman who has slept around, has had a number of sexually transmitted diseases, accusing me of being a looter. And
I don't know why you have to bring that into it.
What do you mean?
Why do you have to bring in your friend's sexually transmitted diseases and the fact that she slept around? I know that she's made you angry, right?
She's made me very angry, Phil, when she said, do you feel like you're a looter? And I said, my God. I didn't even know that this was the same woman that I had planned summer tacklers with. This is the same woman. I used to... we used to trade clothing, Phil, like we were high school girls before, and I'm not trying to be, well, before she put on weight.
Well, it's obvious that you have you're commenting about this girl in a negative way. She asked you, do you feel like a looter?
Well,
no, but, you know, answer that question. Don't you feel as if you were looting?
Mike, no, I do not, and I'm very insulted by that.
Well, let's look at it on the surface, and I don't... When you walk by this store, you're on the Strand in London. I'm not sure I know where that is.
That's down at Thames River.
It's down near the river.
The Thames River?
Yeah.
All right. And you see a store, and the windows are knocked out, and the door is knocked out, and it's obviously a store that has been hit by looters.
Phil, please understand, they had the Burberry leather hobo handbag. That is a $1,400 handbag. The Burberry Brit leather jacket, that's $1,300. The Burberry dome button, how much did that be?
It's almost $1,000, the Burberry dome button, peacoat. I want to get a peacoat.
Did you hear that, Phil?
I heard peacoat.
Yeah.
What about it?
Oh, my God. $1,000 peacoat. Are you listening to what we're saying, or are you just trying to play to the minorities? Phil, I have great sympathy.
I'm not playing to any minorities, Ms. Dooley. I'm asking you, do you feel like you were a looter? When you say you didn't wear a mask, when you say...
I do not feel like a looter. I've answered that question.
All right. Everybody's been wearing masks. You say they're very young. They're running down the street. They're busting in windows. They're this, they're that, they're this and that. Now, you, on the other hand, you're not wearing a mask. You're trailing behind. You see an open store. You grab all this stuff. I didn't ask you how much did you grab?
like we grabbed, Mr. Grant, I got about 10 coats and probably about 10, 12 handbags.
10 coats and 10 handbags.
All right, well, 10 coats and 10 handbags, which you left with the hotel except for two that you gave yourselves as a reward, and that's probably what your friends are focusing on. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I mean, they did leave most of the stuff with the hotel. We'll find
Phil
out.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-7445, as we talk here with Bobby and Steve Dooley of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. And look, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I certainly appreciate you telling us what you went through. It had to have been a very traumatic thing.
Feel very appreciated by a lot of our friends. I understand that you have a job to do, but when you come home and your friends, and I know that this is the way people are so jealous of the fact that we can afford a vacation to Europe, that we're not pinching pennies and we're not going into a piggy bank to pay to literally feed our children, like so many people are. I understand that, Phil, but it doesn't mean that you're so jealous that you call your friends looters.
Well, you took jackets from this store, the windows of which were broken out.
We took the jackets out and came home with three.
Well, that's the other thing. You said you came home with two, right?
Yes.
Then your husband told me during the break that you actually had three or four.
I don't know that. I had three handbags. Steve had two of the jackets.
You said you had two handbags, and your husband had two jackets. Now you've got three handbags.
No, we took, we said, Miss Penny, if I could say, we had there about 12 jackets, and we kept half of them.
And we did. We kept half, and I know that is six. Here's why I got confused. I was thinking of two and two, the two bags, the two coats. That's four. It was actually four handbags.
All right, so you guys kept half of the stuff that you, and you don't want me to use the word loot.
No, you're not going to use the word loot because it wasn't looting.
And what do you mean I'm not going to?
I can tell you legally.
Legally, Mr. Hendry, and Phil, look, you're a good friend. I don't want to have to call a lawyer and start talking about defamation. And
what you're telling me, having walked out of a store, and I don't know, you walked out of a store with these bags or these jackets or whatever, you're telling me that this is what you did, that you did not replace this merchandise, that it was merchandise that, in other words, you brought back to the United States. First you said it was four, I guess, total. Then you said it was, not four total, it was how many? Six jackets. Then you said that, well, it wasn't just six jackets, it was six handbags, too. And, by the way, God Save the King is... Wow. So...
Who's TRN?
Just... Never mind. So, in any event, that's what you said happened, and that's what I am talking about. Why don't you call that looting?
What do you mean, God Save the King? I have God Save the King.
That's right. You wanted us to play God Save the King, right?
But I didn't want you to telegraph to the audience.
Well, I didn't know that I was supposed to. Why do you want me to play God Save the King?
I wanted you to play God Save the King to show that we are a very patriotic people in this family. And we would never in a million years do anything to hurt the England people.
All right. Well, Bobby, I don't know what to tell you. I need to take a break. We got to get some kind of technical stuff squared away here. 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western States Homeowners Association on the line with us as we discuss the recent trip that they took to the United Kingdom. And then you weren't looting. And
I am. I don't want that word to be used again.
Sure, we started out doing the best we could on it. I went, no. And I know it sounds stupid.
Yeah, it does sound stupid, Mr. Dooley, right?
What do you mean, Bozell?
When I say Steve, that was Steve. Sorry, we have another guest that that comes on from time to time, Mr. Bozell.
Steve was giving you the Doppler effect.
I understand he gave me the Doppler effect. What has that got to do with this question of whether or not you guys were... And all right, let's not call it looting.
It certainly was not looting. And the fact that you are taking the position of a great many people at the Western States, including Janice Greeley...
And by the way, her STDs and how many men she slept with doesn't have anything to do with the problem that you guys are encountering here. The problem you're encountering is some form of being ostracized by people there.
Well, that's still, I'm the Homeowners Association president. So at some point, you have to talk to me. You have to talk to me, and you have to talk to me with respect. I am the president of the Homeowners Association, which means that we can lien your property. We can fine you for having violating different codes, okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. You violate a code.
What code does it violate not talking to you?
I don't know that it violates any specific code. I think it violates the spirit of the agreement that you're being rude to the president of the Homeowners Association. And
well, you know, you're the president of the Homeowners Association, and I don't know whether it is, legal or illegal not to talk to you. But you had, you came home, and you said to your friends and your, you know, and everybody else that you had gotten these leather jackets. Now, they said to you that they thought maybe you had looted. Is that correct?
They said that we had been looters, and I... This is very hurtful.
All right, I don't mean to hurt you, and maybe you don't know, maybe you thought you were doing a good thing. But the fact is, if you go into a store, and you are, you know, for whatever reason, taking things out of that store, and what is that?
Blessing.
All right, you're taking things...
Would you please be quiet for a minute? Would you please be quiet for a minute?
Ms. Dooley...
Would you please be quiet, Mr. Henry, please be quiet.
That's the song... There it is, Steve.
The king.
Excuse me.
Oh, my God, the disrespect.
Wow.
The disrespect. It is fascinating, your disrespect. You're supposed to shut your...
Shut up, man.
That was...
Oh, you talked.
Shut up.
No, you shut up.
Shut up.
Tell me to shut up.
Would you please shut up? Steve.
Sorry.
All right, I don't have any time for this.
Would you shut your hole? You know.
There. Is that good enough for you?
What do you want me to do?
Don't panic, bud. I just put the whole thing on hold. Telling me to shut up? I'm doing a show here. She's playing I have great respect for the United Kingdom and their national anthem, but she wants me to stop the whole show. Are they there? Ms. Dooley.
Mr. Hendry, wait.
Oh, God. I guess these guys found about the longest God Save the King they could find. Turn it off. Turn it off.
No, it's the national anthem of the United... And, of course, I recognize what you're saying, that the timing of this bit is thrown off by something that's far too long. But, you know, you can't have everything, Phil.
No, that's for sure. All right, so now we're done with that.
No, we're not done with that.
Here, I'll turn it off.
Thank you! So the point of that is what?
That is the national anthem. I'd play it again, but it's way too long. Why don't you ask the guys up there to send you a shorter version?
Look, you know what? It's all I can do to get through this show every night, so don't worry about it. The fact of the matter is, when you played that, you expected me to stop talking. And so I stopped talking, and now we are where? We're here with you still looting things.
We did not loot anything. If we looted and we felt that we had broken the law, then we would never have been arrested. Listen, it's still going.
How long is this God's turn this? How long is this song? How long is this thing, man?
I don't know.
A minute. God almighty. You know what? I'm having to do the... Don't send me a three-minute damn song. Send me something that's a minute long so we can use it in the context of a bit. I'm not doing a radio show here that features the top 40. You know, we're not playing records. So what? Now resend me that song in...
My God.
All right, I'm sorry.
My God. And I was called a looter.
Yeah, boy, that's really embarrassing.
I'm sorry, but sometimes I have to do what I got to do on the air. Because every time I'm doing it during a break, I'm hearing, we got 30 seconds, Phil.
Well, that was absolutely unnecessary.
Don't tell me what was unnecessary. You ripped off leather jackets from a store.
So I ripped them off, is that right?
Yeah, ripped them off, looted them.
Mr. Hall.
What do you mean, Mr. Hall?
Well, I too.
Yes, David.
Look, would you do me a favor? If you've got a problem with the production elements on the show, do it during a break, okay?
I would do it during a break, but I used up the last two breaks trying to get songs sent to me that actually fired.
What does that mean?
I had songs sent to me that weren't even firing. So now I get this song sent to me. It's 3 minutes long. Maybe by the end of the hour, I'll have everything just the way I want it, just in time for the end of the bit.
The only funny thing you've done in this hour... is Mr. Dooley talking about the siren in London. Look, I'm losing my throat just like you. I feel so bad. My throat feels so bad, it's almost as if you and I have been French kissing.
Oh, God.
Tell me about it. Ms. Dooley, good evening.
Yes, Mr. Hall, how are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry I had to interrupt. But I heard the way Mr. Henry was treating you. And, well, not you. I mean the engineers.
I'm glad you did call.
By the way, thank you very much for the... Yeah, it's fine, pal. Don't do it with me, though. Don't make the mistake of doing it with me.
You want to talk to me?
Who's this?
Phil!
Oh, yeah, well, look! Phil, I'm not ignoring you. I'm telling you, if you've got technical business to do, do it off the air.
I've been... The last two breaks, I've been trying to get a song sent to me, God Save the King, and...
The only way you're going to save this bit is Mr. Dooley. Is that the name?
Yeah, I'm Dooley.
You're doing.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Oh, okay. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley.
Yeah, same sort.
Are you related?
Maybe.
It's interesting because, you know, years ago...
All right, well, come on. Are we moving this along?
Yeah. Have him do that.
Do what?
The Doppler effect.
Okay, fine. Now, I asked for a minute. They've sent me 45 seconds. We'll see if this works. Well, you know what? It's really no point, but let's try it.
I'm surprised they're sending you anything after you ripped them an ass.
I didn't rip anybody an ass. I simply said, can we have a version of the song that I can use? Now, naturally, it's taking, half an hour to download this stuff. You know, this is the modern age of radio, folks, where what we do is we download a lot of things from a server or from email or however it is transmitted to me. Now, here's the problem, though. The download speed is a variable thing. We're dealing with Earthlink, which sucks. Time Warner Cable, which double sucks.
I'm surprised you have cable service after the way you've ripped them an ass.
You really ripped them a hole.
Ripped them a new one. You opened up their...
Yeah, okay, fine. You know what? I think Time Warner Cable can handle it. I really do. I think that those guys are capable of handling any kind of a rip job that I lay on them because they're big boys.
Let me just describe again. in England where they use a different kind of siren. Go, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's the Doppler effect we were talking about.
I understand that.
And the Doppler effect is one in which the literal tone is going to change. Oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
How dare you? Turn it off, Steve. Steve.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
I will as soon as I respond.
How dare you? How dare you? That is the national anthem of the United States. What is it? United States of Kingdom?
United States of Kingdom.
The United States of Kingdom. The United Kingdom.
That's it, yeah. And so I suppose I think you probably think you've one-upped me by knowing the name of the country, but I know the anthem.
It's very disrespectful using it this way.
What?
It's disrespectful using it this way.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
Okay, Steve, that's enough. Kill it. So, as you can see, Phil, what we have is a situation where we have been wronged. We've been terribly wronged, my husband and I. And what we're looking for is someone to take our side.
Well, I personally think that what you guys did was, I think you stole. I think, what is that?
You can't talk.
You know, I think.
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David.
You gotta shut up, man. That's the national anthem of
Great Britain.
Yeah, shut up.
That's got it. So anyway, so the idea...
Yeah, go ahead. Don't let me interrupt you.
Good, thank you. The idea is that Steve and I go on vacation to Great Britain. We are immediately in the midst of this riot, and we see this store... And we see these jackets, and we take them. No, that isn't looting. Anyone that thinks so has a brain tumor.
I think what you're saying is absolutely stupid, because for most of the time that they... Yeah, there it is.
I told you!
How long do you think this joke will be over?
I don't know. We're going to have to beat this joke into the ground, because we got 7 more minutes to go with this piece of crap. So, excuse me.
Who did you call a piece of crap?
Turn that off. Thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, okay?
What about Dana?
Unreal.
Mr. Hall.
I can't... Yeah, David.
Look, you know, it's not my... You know, I didn't mean to jump into your show. But I heard you ripping the guys an ass, and then I hear you talking about the national anthem of the United Kingdom. And you're butting in, and you're talking over it. You can't do that. Do you understand? You can't do that.
I didn't mean to be disrespectful. She was being disrespectful by playing it every time she heard something that she didn't like. Okay?
You should have just played it and shut up. I want you to listen to about 3 minutes of their song. That's their national anthem.
I don't need 3 minutes on this show. We're not starting. I'm not kicking off a soccer. Even when you play the national anthem of any country before a sporting event, it only lasts about 30 seconds.
Well,
yeah. Thank you.
Carry on.
Yeah, carry on. I love it. Don't you love it? Those guys wouldn't know their ass from a hole in the ground about how to do it. He's out there. He's just taking... The one thing those guys know how to do is eat. You know, they know how to go out, and they know how to eat, and they know how to pay a bill, and they know how to throw down an American Express card. Now, come in here and sweat your ass off and actually do a radio show, and you do the radio show with the bare minimum... 877-876-PHIL. What are you looking at?
Well, I tell you, you just gotta suck it up.
Oh, don't give me that suck it up. Understand something, man. Sucking it up. This is not a coal mine. This is not, I'm not putting rivets in a Chevy here. I'm not looking at the clock and it's really hot on the factory floor as we're putting together Apple computers. This is a creative effort, okay? So not only am I sweating my ass off, working in a very physical format, but I'm also having to think and create and do. So I'm relying on people. I got to rely on people. It is a team effort, and everybody's got to be on it. Do you think I like flipping my lid night after night after night? Do you think I enjoy that? Do you think it's something? Do you think I look forward to doing a show where I have to do that? Don't you think I'd like to do a radio show where everything is going the way I want it to go?
Yeah, you don't want to talk about it now.
Look, man, it doesn't matter when I talk about it. Doesn't matter when I talk about it. Talk about it off the air. Talk about it on the air. It doesn't make any difference. It's the same environment. Same thing. I talked to Kevin this past weekend. We're going to be at the NAB in September. I talked to Joel Denver today, who is going to be the moderator of the panel that I'm going to be on with Bubba the Love Sponge and a few other guys. And Joel's very interested in new media.
Talk about a website.
The website. He's very interested in how radio personalities are using new media, whether it's the websites, whether it's our video casts that we're doing now, whether, you know, all these things. He's very interested in knowing just what's going on out there in the world of talent, because this is where it's at now, you see. We're the guys that are making the money. The traditional radio arms that we worked with, they don't make money anymore. We can't rely on them to make any money anymore. So because we're the guys that are out making the money, more and more, we got to be the ones calling the shots, see? So we're going to talk about that in September. I can't wait to get to Chicago for that one. We'll be right back. Vernon Dozier next to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
He did.
That means I don't want to hear you talking about it.
Well, we're on the air now, okay?
What?
We're on the air right now.
I understand you're on the air, Phil. But I don't want to hear any more out of you about how the music is this and the this and the that and this and that. Just do the show.
I'm doing the show, okay? I'm doing the show. I'm doing the show so much that I got talking to you now and we're on the air.
I wouldn't be on the air with you right now if it wasn't important. The Dow went down 520 points, and, you know.
Well, that's, you know, frankly, that's not my problem. You know, it's your problem.
Okay, so I got my money tied. Don't you have money in stocks?
Yeah, but it's my retirement. I'm not going to, I ain't taking it out now.
Forget it.
So he wants to keep talking right to the top of the hour. Anyway, very pleasant good evening. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That was David G. Hall, our vice president of syndication. He's flipping out over the stock market. He's flipping out over my big mouth. He's just flipping out, man. Because, well, I guess he's got reasons to flip out. But we're going to try to keep our cool here in the midst of, well, this is a very hot evening, isn't it, Bud? And we also have to get the fans going, but we don't get the fans going. And by fan, I don't mean the fans on the phone.
You're talking about the one that blows the air.
Yeah, this one, that fan, the one that blows the air, right. We'll get that going in a moment. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're online at philhendryshow.com, philhendryshow.com, where you can look at live streaming video of our show each and every night on Phil TV in HD. And you can also get our archives, and you can also get our daily podcast, and you can also look at our news feed, and you can get our classic Phil podcasts. And you can watch, you can look at Bobby Dooley's blog, Ms. Dooley, who we just had on the air, also Ted Bell's blog. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. Joining us from Glendale, California is Vernon Dozier, a member of the board at Belmar Academy. He's also the athletic coach there, the head varsity football coach, as well as the coach of the girls' soccer team. And primary history and math teacher of the junior class. And science and economics in the senior class?
That's pretty good, Phil. That's exactly what it is.
Okay. I by now, I should have your resume memorized, Vernon.
Well, I've been on the program. I've been on the program a lot, I can tell you that. We're very grateful for the interest, Phil. We really are.
You have an interesting program coming up, getting the kids ready for the school year. Not only for the academic year, but also for the athletic year. But you have to juggle an awful lot. You're the football coach, and you're the girls' soccer coach.
Yeah. The football team is the one that takes up primarily most of the month of August. Phil, as you know, in football, you have your... we're going to do our two-a-days later on in the month. And
something that's traditionally called Hell Week.
Hell Week, yeah. Hell Week is even more than two-a-days. But we'll put the pads on that week, that's for sure. We'll have two workouts that week, and we're... we put people through their paces. We also have the soccer season eventually, and I have to stagger that because I don't have time for the intensive training for soccer during the school year that I have for football, because the football training falls in the summertime.
And the girls' soccer season starts when?
That's in December.
So you don't. So you're also tied up as a in the classroom. So a lot of the preparation is done in the summer.
A lot of the preparation, a lot of the mental preparation is done in the summertime. And so we talk about team bonding. We talk about the T1 experience, which is team is number one, and the team bonding experience, which is T2. So we have team is number one, but bonding with each other, that becomes number two. And so myself, along with our coaches who put together the regimen, in the month of August, we'll begin our T1 with the girls' soccer team. And that's a very interesting and kind of a fun time. We do one-on-one. And what we want to do is get into the heads of these girls and get into to the mindset of these players. And we want to know, just exactly where their heads are. We want to get all the distractions aside. And we want to get all the worry aside and just get one-on-one with this. Our two-a-days in football.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yeah, sure.
I wanted to stay on soccer here for a minute.
All right.
When you're tell me a little bit more about this, because I don't know. When you're talking about getting into the heads of the soccer players, are you talking about on the practice field?
No, you're talking more about a psychological preparation for the season. And that is something that requires our T1, which is team number one, TB2, team ball two. And that is the one-on-one. And then T3, which is tier three level. And that's when we begin the actual practice. So you have these three levels. T-ball one or T-ball two is T-ball, T1, and then T-ball two is...
Well, you know, let's just call it T2.
All right. T2 is when... Well, you can't really call it T2 because that's a different. I'll just say that it's what we call mental preparation. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous, Phil.
You're doing mental preparation or mental preparedness?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right, and it's impressive how you can do that.
Do what?
Well, you mental preparation. You said it real good. I can't.
Well, I'm a professional. I mean, I'm on the air every night, so it's. Coach, God bless the teachers of the world. You're one of them. You guys do a far tougher job. You have a far more important job, than anything I would do.
Well, I don't know, Phil. You keep a lot of people entertained every night. I sure do appreciate that.
All right. Well, but look, let's talk more here now about preparing the soccer team. How do you do that? When you talk about this one-on-one,
yeah.
This is the one-on-one mental preparation?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Well, the TB1 or T-ball 1 is the coach, in that case it would be me. I spend time with each player one-on-one. Each player has my individual attention one-on-one. And I want it to be a full sequestered experience, if you will. I don't mean that in a literal sense, but we go to dinner.
You go to dinner who?
Me and the player. I take them to dinner. We go to go down to Maestro's Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. You give the girls an experience; they enjoy that. I pick them up in a town car.
Is it a limousine?
Well, let's call it a town car.
And why that?
Because I don't want any distraction driving the car. I don't want any distractions. We want to be one-on-one. Tell me about how do you see soccer this year, and what is your place? Now, this stays, this kind of concentration stays all the way through the ride to the restaurant. I know some of the managers there at Maestro's, so generally I get a very nice table there in the wine room. And that is, again, Phil, every single thing is focused on the player. And so from the time we get into that, the time she gets into the town car, until the time the evening ends, I've been in her face about soccer. She may have gotten a porterhouse for two. I've seen girls do that. And it. I don't know that I like to see it. I don't like to see a woman order a porterhouse for two and then say, I want to eat all of this. It bothers me.
What do you mean? That's a porterhouse for two? That's a big...
Yeah, it's a very big order.
A porterhouse, at Maestro's, that's a lot of, what is that, man, 50 ounces?
Yeah, it's about 50 ounces of steak. And you see a woman, a little girl, a senior high schooler, and she's going to say, yeah, give me the porterhouse for two, and no, I'm not sharing it. I get a little bit worried. First of all, I'm paying for it. But that's not why I'm worried. I'm worried because I'm paying for it, and she's going to just go ahead and eat all of that herself, and there's no real recognition of what I've done. See, I want teamwork, Phil. I want teamwork. So when we bring our seniors out, our soccer players out, and we go out to the TB1 evening, you know, where we do the full sequestering. And
all right, you're using a lot of terms here, Coach. I want people to know that what you're talking about is going out to dinner, really.
No, it's not going out to dinner. It is much more than that.
All right, well, it is an evening of very intensive focus on soccer. And while you are focusing on soccer, you're in a town car. You're going to Maestro's Steakhouse. Okay, that much is right.
Yes, that is correct. But at every single solitary step of the way, it's soccer. How do you feel about it? You know, and she may say, "Can I get a dessert?" And I say, "You know, hold on. I just asked you a question about soccer, and already you want to look for the dessert." See, so I'm trying.
So it's not, you know, it's not a very, it's not designed to be a pleasant experience.
No, not at all. It's designed to be an intensive training exercise.
All right.
So, you know, it's soccer. So she'll say, "Can I get the apple pie for dessert?" And I'll say, what did you just say to me? And she'll ask for the apple pie. And I'll say, "You know something? That proves to me that you're not going to be worth it. You're not going to be worth, excuse my language, Phil, hot dog stuff to this team when you say, 'Can I get some dessert?'"
Well, isn't this as a kid, okay? She's there at a restaurant, a steakhouse. She's just had this nice meal. She's got a dessert menu in front of her. Isn't she going to say, "Oh, wow, can I get some pie?" You know?
I understand that, but I need more than that for my soccer team, okay? You know the record that our varsity football team has got. I want to match that with our girls' soccer. I want to go all the way to the top.
Well,
all the way to the top, Phil. All the way to the top. I'm not talking about halfway to the top. I'm not talking about a quarter of the way up the top. I'm not saying getting three-quarters of the way and then getting out, stretching, having a cigarette, and get back in. I'm talking about all the way, nonstop, until your heart blows up in your chest. That's how motivated I am.
All right, we're talking with Vernon Dozier. Now, the one thing I didn't mention to you, you did say to me beforehand that the parents have no problem with this.
No, they don't have a problem with it. I had a couple of parents say to me, "Isn't this inappropriate?" And I said, "I got to tell you," I said, "I'm going to let it go this time."
What did that mean?
Well, they offended me there when they said, "Isn't it inappropriate for you to be taking our daughter?" And I said, whoa. And they said, "No, isn't it inappropriate?" I said, "You know what I'm going to do? Because I happen to feel good today, because the sun's up, and because I know God and my wife love me, I'm going to let that go. But I can tell you, second time, we're going to do a dance."
Well, I don't know what that means. I mean, if a parent...
I'll tell you what it means.
Well, no, hold on. If a parent says, "Now, you're going out to take my daughter to a steak dinner. She's a minor, and you're the coach, and that's fine. Can we ask about that?" You're saying what?
I'm saying I've had a couple of people, and just a couple, because most parents, when I say to parents at our school, let me just say this. Our school is one of the top academic schools in the state. And when I say to a parent, "Here's what I'd like to do," they know that if they're going to say something in protest, they got one foot in it. And basically, I said, "You want to put the other one in too? Go ahead and ask me something else."
Are you intimidating these people? Are you?
No, Phil, no, not at all. Most of the parents are fine with it. Every now and then, you get a couple that want to cause trouble. But most of the parents are fine with it.
All right, we're going to talk with Vernon Dozier some more when we come back about the girls' soccer team at Belmar Academy and how they prepare for the season. One of the things they do is what he calls the one-on-one sequestered experience. They go out to dinner, and he picks the girl up in a town car. They go to a steakhouse. This total focus, even insofar as, you know, not letting her order dessert until she talks soccer. We'll get into it more, and the parents complaining about it, apparently, there aren't that many. Coach Dozier is pretty much put the lid on anything that may even smack of protest. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we're on here with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. We're talking about the preparation for the school year and athletics for the school year. And we talked a little bit, Vernon, about, for instance, your football team. We talked about the two-a-days. I know we talked about the girls' softball. Girls' soccer is something that seems to, the planning for this seems to take place off the field.
Not entirely, Phil.
Well, I don't mean entirely, but there is planning that goes on. You're doing a psychological type of training.
That's it, exactly. We're doing a psychological evaluation of each girl. And what we do is we take these girls out in the town car, as I mentioned. You said a limousine. I think when you say limousine, it sounds as if we're trying to... we're trying to do something that's inappropriate.
Well, is it a limousine?
It's a limousine, but I don't really want to talk about it being a limousine because it makes it sound as if this is some sort of excuse me for saying this, and I don't want to put it as powerfully as this, but it sounds like we're talking about some sex adventure.
No, well, you know, I understand. You're a teacher.
I am a teacher, and I resent violently, and I'm going to say it again, I resent violently someone thinking that I'm picking a girl up in a limousine to take her off and to despoil her or otherwise have some wild sex adventure when all I want to do is take her for a steak dinner, treat her with respect. After we get done, you were asking me, you know, how does the evening go? Well, I mean, we talk soccer, even to the point where she says, I'd like a piece of pie, told you.
And I know, yeah, I understand that.
So, you know, and then we go to, give an example, we go to LAX, Los Angeles International Airport. You can see the planes taking off and landing from that one limousine parking lot where a lot of the limousines go. And we get in there because we are in a limousine. And so, but that's not to say, again, that I'm taking some high school senior on a sex tour, on one of these Southeast Asian sex tours. I get very angry when people intimate that.
Well, I don't think anybody was saying a Southeast Asian sex tour. I think that all we're talking about...
Well, then what are they talking about?
Well, all anybody would be talking... Well, you're the one that said you had a few complaints.
I had some parents complain, but I... You know, I've been at that school long enough, and I've got enough parents in my school. Most parents understand that if they are going to cause problems for me, then they can take their daughter and take her out of our soccer program just as quick as they shoved her into it. I don't care. I've got enough very talented young ladies. I don't need it. Don't want it. Can't use it. Which is the mother calling up and starting in on me. 7:30 in the morning. 8 o'clock. I've barely had my coffee. I've put down my orange juice. I drive to school every morning, Phil, generally driving with one hand on the wheel because I am. And I'm very ashamed of myself for doing this, but I am in such... I'm always backed up. I'm texting with one hand. I'm drinking coffee. I'm having an egg muffin. I forget they call the thing egg muffin sausage, you know, the ones that you get.
You mean like a sausage McMuffin?
No, not a sausage. What do they call the one that's called a muffin egg, or a muffin on an egg?
You're talking about an Egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin, there you go.
Yeah, the McDonald's?
Yes, so I'm driving to the school every morning, and generally that's what I'm doing. I've got a muffin on a Egg McMuffin. I've got a coffee. I've got an orange juice. I'm texting. I'm driving with my knees because I'm putting in... All of this is extremely dangerous. I know that. I'm aware of that, and that's not anything I want to see my students do. But that's how busy I am, you see. Now, on top of that, what happens? Here comes a mother or a father. The phone rings. It's 7:45. I haven't even had my coffee. And they start in. And it's almost as if it's a leaf blower or some other kind of machine. That's how redundant and unbelievably it can be very, very... I tell you, Phil, it can be debilitating. It can hurt. It can literally hurt. And so I've often said to people, I'll give you an example here. I've got... this is just a blender. And this is something that I use to make myself a Brandy Alexander or some drink. You know, some of my friends think it's very effeminate that I drink a Brandy Alexander. And I don't care because I know I'm 100% man. And I got a wife that's 30 years younger than me to prove it. So I don't need to impress anybody over the fact that I drink a Brandy Alexander. But here is what... You hear that? You hear that, Phil?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the parent that calls up in the morning. So I'm having my muffin or that egg muffin that you talk about, that you so described it. And then, hello, this is Coach Dozier. Well, you know, Phil, after a few mornings of that, what would you do? What would you like to do?
Well, after a few mornings of that, what would I like to do?
Yeah, what would you do?
I guess I'd unplug the blender.
You'd unplug the blender. There you go. Atta baby. You'd unplug the blender. And that's what I have to do after I hear from these parents over and over again. You know that I'm standing on the side of a highway right now? Because I want to talk to you and only you. And I want to give you my undivided attention. And as a result of that, I pulled off on the side of a freeway. And
well, I would suggest you get back in your car and move it off the freeway.
No, I'm not going to do that. I am here talking to you, giving you my undivided attention. That's what I want from my soccer players. Are you ready for the season? Gee, this is a really nice restaurant, Mr. Dozier. Gee, I said, you know something? You're done. You're done. I might as well turn around and take her back to her parents' house. But I have devoted an awful lot to that evening. And that means that if she's not going to play soccer, by God, I'm going to get the cost of that steak out of her somehow. And
hold on for just a minute. What the hell is he talking about now?
I don't know. I'll check in the break.
No, don't check in the break. I'll ask him. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
At the Porterhouse for two.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-7445. We are talking with Vernon Dozier from the Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, about the preparation for soccer season. Now, you know that we talked to you a couple of weeks ago concerning the cups that the female baseball players were wearing, right?
I remember that conversation, Phil, and I told you then that there are certain things that have to be done. That are you trying to say that there?
Let me before you allow me to just say this. You know,
no, but what are you trying to say?
Let me say this. I'm saying that there is a perception. There is a perception that
there's a perception that I'm getting into a limousine with an underage girl.
There's a perception you're getting into a limousine with an underage girl, and that there might be something inappropriate intended.
Okay, I got that story from a bunch of parents 2 years ago, and I said to them, "Now you listen to me, and you listen real good." And I was talking to the fathers too, because those are the ones that you want to neutralize them, because a lot of those guys, you get a lot of hero types. And you know what I mean by a hero type? You know, he's gonna say to me, "Hey, you ain't gonna, do nothing with my daughter." And I said, "Let me tell you what. I saw your daughter. Okay, she's about looks like 300 pounds of bacon oil."
And oh, come on, man! You're not talking to a father of a girl that way.
Well, this is what this guy's got on his mind. You know,
and is the mother there?
Sometimes the mother's there. I don't bring this stuff up, Phil.
And what about the appropriateness of talking to a parent that way?
Well, I'm trying to tell you. You said to me, "What? How do I defend myself against perception that something inappropriate's going on?" So, in other words, you're trying to tell me that if I get into a Lincoln Town Car, and
well, you said it's a limousine.
All right, a Lincoln Town. It's a town car. It's a limousine. Yeah, I get into a Lincoln limousine. All right. I take a girl down to Maestro's Steakhouse in Beverly Hills. Then we go watch the airplanes take off.
Yeah?
What do you mean, yeah?
Well, okay. I mean just exactly what I said, yeah. What else happens?
Nothing else happens.
I'm not talking about anything inappropriate, just what else do you do?
I put a blanket down on the hood of the car, and we lay on the hood of the car, and we look at the planes taking on and off. It's what you do when you're trying to bond with one of your players, and I'm saying to her, "Where's your head right now?" And a lot of times they'll say, "I'm thinking about these jets landing." I said, "That's not, you just blew it. Right there, you blew it." Because even though I've got you laying here looking at Jets landing, I want you thinking soccer. Now what are you thinking? She'll say she's thinking about, you know, this or that, something having to do with, okay, you know, sometimes, you know, isn't this romantic?
And, oh, God, you're going to make me throw up, okay?
What is that supposed to mean?
What do you mean, isn't this romantic?
No, I'm just, no. Are you talking about, she's not,
is she talking about you?
I don't, she'll say if she was with her boyfriend, something like that. The point I'm trying to make is I'll say, okay, right there you blew it. Because if she's bringing up her boy, no, she's talking about her boyfriend. You feel better?
I mean, I just don't think any kind of conversation like that around a kid that's going to be playing soccer is appropriate.
Thank you. Duly noted. Duly noted, Mr. Henry. I'm very grateful that you... God! See, once again, Phil, if you were one of those parents and you were there... That's what you sound like to me.
Well, I'm sorry that I sound like that to you, because that would be my concern. I'd be concerned most... with. Okay, so there, you're making the same point they made... You're making the same point they made last hour with God Save the King. Is that it?
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you're babbling now.
You're making the same point that they made last hour with God Save the King. Every time I talk, you decide that you're going to... There it is.
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
So even if I'm asking a question of you, as the coach of my daughter's soccer team...
That's what it sounds like.
How do you communicate with parents?
What?
How do you communicate with the parents?
I communicate with the parents this way. I say to them, here's how we're going to play it. Your daughter wants to be on my soccer team. That's great. In order for her to be on my soccer team, I have to vet her in some way. So that means that I've got to get into her head, and that's where we do our sequestering. Now, I will take her out for a steak dinner in a limousine. We'll lay on the hood of the car. We'll look at the Jets landing. If I feel that there needs to be more focus, then we're going to have to do that. Now, I'm not saying that I would ever do this. I'm a teacher. I would never, ever do this. But let's just say, for instance, I was a college soccer coach, and it wasn't illegal for me to have a relationship with one of my players. Even in the middle of the act, I would say, where's your head now? And if she said, well, I'm thinking about sex, I'd say, get out of here. Get out of this bed and get out of my house. That's how strongly I feel.
You know what? You sound like you've got a mental problem.
Oh, here we go again.
No, well, I mean, here we go again. You're telling me you're making love to a woman, and you ask her, where's your head now? And if she says, well, about making love, and you say, get out of my house?
If she is a soccer player, if it was legal for me to have sex with one of my soccer players, what I'm saying, and in the middle of sex, I said to her, where is your head right now? And she said, I'm thinking about sex. I would say, get out of my house. Oh, well, listen to the funny man laughing.
I'm telling you, man, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Listen to the funny man laugh.
I'm not the funny man. You're the guy that brought up this idea. And so I guess that means she's not focusing, huh?
Well, what do you think? I have, Mr. Henry, one role in life, and that is to be an athletic coach and to be the best one I can be and to be the best Division XII coach that there's ever been at this school. And that means winning football championships, soccer championships, baseball championships, swimming championships, water polo championships, gymnastic championships, fencing championships. And all of those. In fact, I want to win so many championships it comes out can't be kid. And that's why we have on the wall 12 consecutive Division XII championships. And the kids thought that was funny because I would say it so fast it would come out championship.
I don't understand. What do you mean championship?
If I say a lot of... You're not listening to me, are you?
Yes, I'm listening to you.
If I say championship, if I say championships real fast... It's...
All right, okay, I understand. So,
Well, you blew that one off, didn't you? Boy, talk about disrespect.
Hey, you're the guy that's going out in a limousine with girls and having a steak dinner and laying on the hood of the car, and if I could have sex with them, you're walking right up to an edge that we talked about the last time you were on the show. And
we talked about jock straps the last time I was on the show.
No, we weren't. We were talking about athletic cups.
Right, same difference.
No, not the same difference. First of all, you're talking about a kind of an athletic cup or an athletic protector that girls wear, and that you were testing to see whether they were wearing one by putting your hand down their shorts.
And seeing if the cup... You turn everything into filth. And that's the thing that I resent more than anything else about doing these broadcasts. You turn it all into filth. And I think there comes a time, Phil, where we have to say to parents, I'm through saying things and doing things so that your filthy minds can be satiated. I'm going to do something now for myself. I'm going to coach a girl's soccer team. and that's all I'm going to do. And yes, if it was a college teen, and I was having a relationship with one, and I was having sex with her, if she said she was thinking about sex, I'd tell her, you get your ass out of my house, don't ever, ever come here again.
And she'd think you were about as goofy as can be and as nutty. You belong in a straitjacket, and she'd be right.
I don't see anything I said that says...
If you're having sex with a woman, he'd say, what are you thinking about now? Sex, get out of my house and never come back.
I want her to be thinking about soccer.
Vernon Dozier, good luck there, Coach Dozier. The only thing that I wish is that we were covering the games here on the Phil Henry Show. Maybe we should get a live broadcast team. All right, we're going to come back here with other news tonight on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, including our news and information hour. We thank Coach Dozier this evening, and Bobby and Steve Dooley lay on the hood of the car. What are you thinking about? Planes landing? No. Wrong. You should be thinking about soccer. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we have our news and information hour coming up. We'll get into it a little early here tonight, though. The big news, well, not the big news. You know what? There's all kinds of big news. I don't know where to start. There's London. There's the stock market. There's this. There's that. There's something else. And, you know, one of the things about news is you think that this is what's going on. This is not what's going on. This is not what's going on. What's going on is what's happening in your life. That's what's really happening. The rest of this is fantasy land. It's happening, but you're hearing about it through me. You're hearing about it through some chump talk show host, you know, that you listen to. You're hearing about it through the news guy. You begin to perceive as reality, whatever they tell you on Fox or CNN. You think that's what's going on. Well, no, it isn't. That's all that the only thing you can see is what they're telling you. Like, for instance, Anderson Cooper is in Somalia tonight. Well, I guess it's all happening in Somalia. He's got Dan Rivers in Birmingham, England, but that guy's just cutting in with a few reports. Most of the stuff that we're seeing tonight from Anderson Cooper is Somalia. I'm not saying that's a bad report. That's a great report. But if that's news, that's where it's happening, Somalia. Now, some people will say, well, he's a liberal. Well, I don't care if he's a liberal or not. That's a big news operation. They're devoting an enormous amount of time to Somalia. Maybe that's what's going on. In Ohio, a Cleveland jury on Wednesday recommended that convicted serial killer Anthony Soul be sentenced to death. Well, that's going on in Ohio. This guy had 11 bodies laying around his house. He's 51 years of age, convicted by the same jury of killing 11 women. He was handcuffed. He was wearing an orange jumpsuit. He's an ex-Marine. He stood emotionless because if you saw this guy's kisser, it is as psychopathic as anything you've ever seen in your life. The courtroom was filled with family members of the victims. Some cried openly. Others showed little or no emotion. As he left the courtroom, he nodded his head slightly in the direction of the family members. Once he was gone and the jurors dismissed, family members broke out in applause, hugged the prosecutors, and cried some more. Prosecutor Rick Bombeck told jurors he never intended to allow Soul to plead and receive life in prison. In the history of this town, there's nothing to compare to this crime. This was a story that had to be told. And what happened was this guy Soul, when they finally found this guy, you got to understand, this is as gruesome as it gets in the annals of serial murder. As gruesome as it gets. And criminologists and forensic psychiatrists will tell you that there is the organized serial killer and the disorganized serial killer, or the organized killer and the disorganized killer. An organized psychopath was like Ted Bundy. He was organized. He had a place where he would kill them. Or Gary Ridgway, even better. Gary Ridgway had a certain place he knew to go to kill them, and he knew how to dispose of the body here, and he would take time off from killing if he thought the heat was on or if his life got into a different direction, and so on and so forth. Dennis Rader, the BTK killer, he was organized. Then you have these disorganized, almost seemingly psychotic individuals, but in point of fact, they're just disorganized, almost like a different kinds of vampires, you know? Did you ever read those Anne Rice books?
Yeah, sort of one about the interview with a, on a vampire.
Interview on a vampire?
You mean interview with a vampire?
Yeah. Well, like in that book, she had these very meticulous kinds of vampires, like Vampire Lestat, and he was meticulous, and he'd been alive for 500 years, and he knew exactly how to kill him and what he was doing and this and that, right?
Yeah.
And then he had the one like Lewis, and Lewis was so screwed up in the head. He was like a...
He was like a manic... He was like a depressed vampire.
Yeah, he was a depressed vampire. He didn't really want to kill people, and he drank the blood of animals, and he was all jacked up, you know.
Yeah, you would have been better off just sucked on the blood of a person instead of a dog.
Probably, you know. But nonetheless, I don't know. What the hell am I saying? So then you had, like, the Richard Ramirez's. Richard Ramirez is a serial killer, but not very organized, very sloppy and crazy acting. Frankly, he was very easy to track down. Once they finally, you know, got their heads wrapped around this thing, it's what the hell is going on? There's people being attacked, this and that. Then we have this guy, Anthony Sowell, or Sewell, or Sowell, or whatever. And you hear what the prosecutor said. He said, in the history of this town, there's nothing to compare to this crime. After the verdicts, the jury members spoke to reporters but asked that their names not be used. When asked if Sowell's testimony on the stand had any effect on their decision, they said it made it worse. So this guy, Sowell, took the stand, which you don't usually see these people do. Said juror number 12, the jury foreperson, he should have remained silent. The juror also told reporters he gave us a lot of eye contact, which was unwarranted. I was offended. He winked at me. There you go. That's a serial murderer who wants to control, and because they're psychopathic, they want to control the people around them in the situation. Sowell, during his guided testimony during the sentencing hearing, talked about the effect of a 2007 heart attack, and defense argued that as well as an earlier head injury may have led to mental problems. We know that head injuries have played a role in psychopathic attacks. Head injuries played a role in turning a personality into that kind of mass murderer or serial murderer. And that's what Dr. Stone was telling us, that these head injuries, they can trace, you know.
The one guy, Casey, what's his name?
Trainer, was that his name?
Yeah, he was the brother of the kid that got kidnapped.
That kid had a head injury. And he mentioned one other guy that had a head injury. And there were actually two or three that we talked about. They had a head injury. And then what do you think happens? Boom, the cat's personality changes. Now I see this thing the other night with you, Robert. Remember we were watching that?
Dateline on ID.
Dateline on ID, and the lady's husband was trying to kill her. And he was a guy that was pretending he was somebody he wasn't. And she thought he was a big Navy guy, and he wasn't. And the guy's lying like a sack of, you know, crap. And then we find out at the very end of the show, after this guy has committed suicide, after almost killing her, we find out that when he was in the Navy, he'd had a head injury.
Yeah, he bumped his head on a swimming pool.
Exactly. It was almost like after the fact that he had a head injury. So I'm not trying to say that this forgives what they do, but I am saying that if we can figure out what part of the, you know, how that affects a person's personality, man, a head injury, I mean, this is something you could maybe possibly prevent, you know. Anyway, he had a heart attack as well as an earlier head injury. I'm a good chess player. I play on the internet all the time. I used to play. I could not win a game of chess. I was depressed. I had mood swings. I didn't give it a name. It had a name, Sowell said about the voice in his head named Arnie. Sowell had told detectives and doctors that the voice told him not to go into the third floor room where police found the bodies of Talaysia Fortson and Diane Turner. Defense attorney John Parker asked if Sowell had anything to say to the victims' families. The only thing I want to say is that I'm sorry. I know that may not seem like much, and I'm sorry from the bottom of my heart. This is not typical of me. I don't know what happened. I can't explain it, but I know it's not a lot, but that's all I can give. Neuropsychologist Dr. Diana Goldstein, who testified for the prosecution, rejected any notion that Sowell suffered any cognitive disorder. Goldstein said she performed several tests to find out if Anthony Sowell was malingerer or exaggerating his symptoms to avoid prosecution. Mr. Sowell did very well in some of them and failed some of them. I didn't conclude he was malingering, but I couldn't rule it out. I just couldn't do that. She said a CAT scan of his brain following a robbery in 2008 came up clean, and he did not complain of any cognitive problems. Right. Now, this guy that they interviewed, this cop, you know who that guy is?
Psychologist.
The Florida psychologist that they interviewed after the Casey Anthony trial, who's supposedly really good, and I don't doubt that he is. He said, listen, you got to understand something. I've been in the same room with Danny Rawling. I've been in the same room with Aileen Wuornos. I've been in the same room and interviewed some real despicable people. So, please don't think that I'm some kind of a lightweight here. Well, no, we're not saying that. But he said, I gave all these tests to Casey Anthony, and I found her to have a normal personality. Now, Dr. Drew said to him, well, now, can I ask you? I said, sure. He says, I understand you're a very, you know, you're a very eminent man in your field. But is it possible that this woman had a type of antisocial disorder? Meaning, is it possible she had an empathy problem? He said, well, after you asked me that question, now this is the head psychiatrist for the state of Florida. He said, after you asked me that question, I went back and I looked at my findings again because I thought only fair. And, you know, the guy's open-minded and you got to give it to him for that. He has to be. I think if you're a scientist, you have to remain open to all possibilities. He says, I went back and I looked and I said, you know something? You could be right. I think it is possible that she had an empathy problem or a lack of empathy. Now, lack of empathy is one of the symptoms, not one of the symptoms, it's one of the guideposts or signs of a psychopathic personality. No empathy, meaning you cannot feel other people. You don't know, you cannot know how it feels to be them. He says, I thought it was possible. So this is after the guy said, I don't see any personality disorder at all. And all Drew says to him is it possible there's some kind of an antisocial thing like empathy? He said, well, you know, on second thought, yeah.
How come he's going to get so wrong the first time?
I don't know. All I can tell you is this guy, Dr. Kopp, was a guy that was right by the book, man. This cat, he had all the tests. He had all of the, every single solitary test that there is and every single solitary reading of everything that you do, he did. And he put it into the computer. And it came out, she's cool. And then Drew says to him, well, what about this and what about that? And he says, well, I went back and looked at it. You may be right.
So how good can this guy be?
Not very good. I don't know. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour coming up, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I'm going to give an example of that here in about 2 seconds. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. I'm going to give an example of what I'm talking about here right now, and it has to do with this Dow Jones, world economy, bop, bop, boom, boom, all this good stuff. And it depends on whether or not you really want truth or you just want to sit and listen to the same stuff from the party on the left and the party on the right and the party on the left and the party on the, you know. What's happening in the world economy right now, people will tell you because it's almost as if, as we said, if I'm invested in reporting news, well, then I want everybody to think that the biggest thing that's going on in the world right now, if I was Anderson Cooper, is what's happening in Somalia. Or I might want someone to think that the biggest thing that's happening in the world right now is what's going on in England. Or I might want people to think, et cetera, et cetera. Political parties are exactly the same. They want you to think that the biggest reason is this or the biggest reason is that. The challenge for you and the challenge for me is to wade through all of that horse dung and find where it really is. Where is the terra firma? Now, if you don't like Obama, if you don't like Bush, if you don't like Republicans, if you don't like liberals, well, that's the center of your universe. And so every problem emanates from them. The problem that this stock market, the problem the world economy is having, so on and so forth, if we're honest with ourselves, which we rarely are, first of all, it takes a great deal of courage. It takes a lot of courage to say what is actually the truth. for a number of reasons. In my business, for instance, working in talk radio, you can't tell the truth because talk radio is either very, very conservative or very, very liberal, and it's not geared toward truth. It's geared toward programming. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, if I have a radio station and it's all conservative all the time, or if I have a radio station all liberal all the time, that doesn't have anything to do with truth. That has to do with conservative or liberal. If you're a conservative and you think the only thing that comes out of a conservative's mouth is truth, well, then you probably think that they crap Tiffany cufflinks too, which they don't. You probably think that there's, you know, a sugar mountain someplace with a big thing of whipped cream and a cherry on top. And I got news for you, friend. It don't exist. Same thing with liberals. Same thing with those people. They think that the only thing that comes out of a liberal's face is truth. Well, if you really do believe that, you're in big trouble. You've got more serious problems than whether or not the Republicans or the conservatives or the Tea Party is going to take over. You need a CAT scan is what you need. However, that's not where the truth emanates from. We had people in this country and we had people around the world that decided that they were going to do business a certain way. Now, I find it ironic that on the one hand, we have people talking about allowing business to just do what it needs to do to make a dollar and get the government out of the way. And when those people do the business that they want to do and get the government out of the way and the boom, bada beam, bada boom, bada beam, well, guess what they did, man? Look what's happened. They started issuing all of these mortgages, subprime mortgages. They started packaging them up and sending them down the road. They closed up shop. They couldn't be found when the bill came to be paid. Well, these are people that were doing their thing. These are people that were making their number every month. They're making their commission every month. They're bringing in all kinds of big fat contracts to Countrywide and all these other companies. Oh, they're doing everything that that a good wheeling and dealing and free marketer would do. I mean, they have no concern about the future, and they have no concern about their investors. They have absolutely no concern whatsoever about the community that they exist in, but they're doing it their way. I mean, what, are you going to tell a guy how to make a living? Of course you're not going to tell a guy how to make a living. So, you know, Obama didn't cause that. I hate to break the news. I don't know, you know, if you even say those words in today's environment, especially on this thing called talk radio, which has become so perverted. Talk radio today is, here's a business, ladies and gentlemen, that used to be, it was a deregulated business and should have gone in the opposite direction toward much broader programming. Today, it's never been more narrow. And today, we don't even have broadcasters. We've just got former lawyers who are talking conservative or liberal. And all they want to do is talk about Obama. And all they want to do is talk about Tea Party. And all they want to do is talk about Obama. And it's a complaint machine, morning, noon, and night, over and over and over, the same bloody message. And do you get any smarter? No, you don't. Are you getting any wiser? No, you're not. Are you getting information? Of course you're not. Do you think you are? Yes. This is the result of people who were just flat stupid. You see, it's not criminality. It's not conservatism. It's not liberalism. Yes, there was a little bit of Barney Frank, and yes, there was a little bit of George Bush, and yes, there was a little bit of Harry Reid and Christopher Dodd, and yes, there was a little bit of this guy. And was it this in the right hand and this on the left? Yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. It's unfortunate, but I have to be honest with you, folks. There is no political ideology in this country that does not have culpability and responsibility on some level for the disaster that has taken place in this world, and only somebody that's lying to themselves would think any different. And if you say to me that the solution is to, you know, completely cut taxes and let business just do what it's going to do because the free market reigns, I've just given you two examples of the free market reigning. And they didn't do anything other than they got smaller and they got more inept. The radio business was deregulated. What happened? It's gotten worse, not better. And the banking business got the handcuffs taken off. And what happened? Take a look. 520 points down. The global economy is on the edge. People are losing their ass. The country is full. The American people are panicking because, unfortunately, we don't know a damn thing about history or how to. If we understood what happens in situations like this, if we understood what the historical trend has been, we may not panic as much. We may have a little more information. But Americans are notoriously stupid when it comes to the history of their own country, the history of the world, maybe even the history of their own lives. So anyway, here's where we are today. We're back down below the 11,000 level, closing at the lowest level since September 2010. The Standard & Poor 500, a broader market measure, ended the day down 52 points. These jackasses are complaining about Standard & Poor. They should not have, dropped America's credit rating. Well, whatever. We should not have gotten ourselves into the situation that we're in. And maybe that, you know, people say, well, the Tea Party pushed us to the brink. I think it takes an unbelievable bit of gall to think that, you know, rather than try to find a solution, you're going to go ahead and pitch this as something you can lay at the feet of the Tea Party. I don't think there is a patriot, and I mean among Tea Party members and among liberals, I don't think there is one person that gives a damn about whether this country lives or dies. I think those bastards in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party would rather see the country go right down the crapper than see their own political parties be held accountable, to see their own political parties be fairly indicted for hypocrisy. I think that Tea Party, too, in fact, some of the most unpatriotic people I've ever seen are members of the Tea Party. You want to know why? They would rather lie. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not going according to the conservative talk show playbook because I never saw the value in that, nor am I going according to the liberal talk show playbook. I'm going according to the this is what's going on playbook. You know, I'm talking to you. Because talk radio doesn't have anything to do with truth, it really doesn't, folks. I mean, I'm telling you, I know, because it doesn't have anything to do with truth. I don't know how much longer, for instance, you're going to hear me on this station or any other station, because I just know how the game is played. And you can be a Tea Party person or a progressive and pleasure yourself to the thought of that every night, but it isn't going to get the country moving in any faster in any direction that's going to make any more sense than it did, you know, 10 years ago or 20 years ago. This country is going to survive if we remain a little bit more flexible and that we adapt and that we use what we need when the time comes. That's not being some inflexible bore like a progressive or a Tea Partier. That's not anybody that I want in a lifeboat, man, while we're, you know, looking for land. I don't want some ass that's going to sit there and say to me, well, I just believe that the use of wind power is the, you know, well, how about if we figure out what we're, you know, maybe we need to change some things. Change something! You know, I think we need to row. I think we need to sail. I think we need to row. I think we need to sail. How about if we try both? What? You get a Tea Party guy and a progressive guy in the same rowboat with you as you are trying to find land, and that's what you're going to be dealing with, those two asses with their sailing and rowing. And meanwhile, you're just trying to get the damn thing moving, right? You guys think it's a game or something? You jackasses on the progressive side and the Tea Party side, you think this is some kind of a game. You think America's going to be around for you to screw with it in another 10 years? What are you going to mess with when this country is on its last legs? Who are you going to mess with then? You're going to go to your graves blaming the other guy. I know, I've already got this. Your lives, I can see all the way down to the end. You're going to go to your grave blaming the other guy. If you're a progressive, you'll go to your grave blaming the Tea Partiers. And if you're a conservative, you're going to go to your grave blaming the progressives and the Democrats. You think you guys are a surprise? Do you think that you're not easy to read? Do you think that your arguments for why we've reached this point in history have any connection to reality? I mean, you may be conning a lot of people, and I don't doubt that you are. I mean, I'm looking at my country right now. I'm worried because, I mean, I don't think we've ever had a Congress with a bigger collection of moral cowards, and there's quite a few dumbasses in there, too, both Republican and Democrat. I think you guys are selling it, but you ain't selling it to everybody. You ain't selling it to me. You know, every chance I get, man, I'm going to tell people, I know what's wrong with this country. The very thing that's wrong with our country are these asses with their three-cornered hats or these progressives with their jobs. You don't even know what the hell that means. What do you mean jobs? What does that mean, jobs? Yeah, people need jobs. You think just any magically made up job and that's it? That's what's going to get it going again, huh? Jobs. Is that it? We're not in any position to start creating jobs because the stimulus package that they passed in the minds of most Americans is an absolute stiff. It is a failure. Now, what are you going to do? Stand there and say we had a really good idea, but it wasn't applied properly. Now let's get some more money into a stimulus, and then we'll do it right this time. Who do you think you're going to sell that to? And you jackasses in the Tea Party. Are you trying to tell me that your argument about less taxes and the government with its hands off of business and just let business do a thing, do you think that's relevant at all in the climate we're living in today with the industrialists like the automakers and the bankers and all the rest of these people, all of these private enterprise interests who let this country down? Don't give me this bull crap about unions, okay? You're not talking to an idiot. Go sell that crap someplace else. Got nothing to do with unions. It had everything to do with the people that were running the auto industry. Everything to do with the guys. And what union took the banks and turned them into a joke? You know, I'm just one American. And I've been on the radio many decades. I'm a communicator, and I've got, you know, a lot of different things to say about a lot of different things, and some of them may be right, some may be wrong. Here's one that is absolutely right, though. One that is absolutely right. This medium of talk radio that I work in that is selling you this conservative message or the liberal message, number one, it's not serving you. Number two, it's not telling you the truth. It's not even good radio. But on top of everything else, it's like they're toying with the future of the country. You know, the country's in real distress, and these stupid asses are still sitting there with their Obama bashing or their Tea Party bashing, you know. All right, that's all I have to say about that. We're coming back. What was the story? Oh, yeah, Gavin DeGraw. Remember the guy that got beat up in the East Village? We'll find out what else on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, Gavin DeGraw. You remember this guy? He's a singer, often heard with Maroon 5, I think, and some other bands. He was attacked in the East Village on Monday morning in New York, beat up, and got hit by a cab. He can't remember anything. This is what he sounds like. It sounds like when he sings. That sounds like him after he got hit by the cab. I'm just kidding. I didn't mean that. Here is Gavin DeGraw. Great. So anyway, fans of Gavin DeGraw can breathe a sigh of relief. The singer was released this morning from Beth Israel Hospital in New York City after he was attacked and hit by a cab early Monday. Now, DeGraw underwent surgery for a broken nose on Tuesday, and he tweeted this message to his fans. He said, quote, "Hi, fans." Hi, my friends.
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, I got it. Hi, my friends. Honestly, I don't remember much. I only know I can recover from here. Thank you all for your genuine concern. I love you guys. Is that it?
I think so, yeah.
That ain't much of a tweet, Gavin. You know, you got some fans out here, man. Give it up a little bit. Hi, my friends. I don't remember much. Well, right there, that's bullcrap. Now, what's this thing about you weren't drinking? All we want is the truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Okay? Otherwise, Mr. DeGraw, we're going to have to, you know, hit the bullcrap alarm on you, man. All right. So what we have here is this. The attack by two men, at least two men, in the East Village, which police confirm was not a mugging, occurred when... How did they confirm that?
They probably didn't take no money.
According to who?
Probably according to Gavin DeGraw.
Well, he says he doesn't remember much. I guess he had everything on him, though, huh?
Yeah, he probably, you know, probably carried a roll.
What do you mean a roll?
Probably carried, like, you know, $1,200 or something like that.
Oh, who knows, man? Why? Why do you say that?
On account he's rich.
On account of he's rich. What, because he's a rock star? He may not be. I don't even know if he's so-called, quote, rock star so much as he is just a professional musician. But nonetheless, the attack by at least two men in the East Village, which police confirmed was not a mugging, occurred when DeGraw left National Underground, a bar he co-owns with his brother Joseph. The singer was then hit by a cab 10 blocks from the scene of the crime, which sped away before anyone could get information. No one had been arrested, and the assault and the motive remained unclear. Since DeGraw tweeted he couldn't remember the attack, some think that the crime may have been due to a drunken altercation. That's my belief. That's my belief.
Well, what do you base that on?
That I don't know. I'm basing it on, since there was no mugging, and this guy, this lone man, Gavin DeGraw, got his ass beat, but he wasn't mugged. Something must have been said. Now, it could be that they just picked on him because he was one guy, and these were a larger group of guys, and they were slobs and ass blanks and... Don't say it, man. That's why I said blank.
Sorry.
And they just wanted to beat up on someone because they wanted to gang up on somebody. They had a chance. It could be that. It could be that the two of them, the two groups, meaning Mr. DeGraw and these other guys, they were drunk and there were words exchanged. That happens, too.
Oh, yeah? What do you think of that? Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Why don't you come over and see some? Okay, yeah.
And then, you know, and maybe DeGraw is just drunk enough to think that he can take on three guys. That's happened before.
By you?
Not by me, no. I mean, although I've probably been that drunk. No, I don't think I've ever been so drunk as to think, ah, there's three guys. I think I'm going to choose those guys off, and I'm going to just work my way through all three of them, leave them where I found them, and continue my stroll home. Not. Police said a 911 caller reported that a man believed to be DeGraw, with blood on his shirt, who appeared to be heavily intoxicated, needed help, according to People. According to People. People Magazine. I mean, People Magazine. However, DeGraw's brother insisted Gavin only had cranberry juice that night, and his lack of memories is due to a concussion he suffered that night. Only cranberry juice. Right. So if his brother says he only drank cranberry juice, first of all, this guy appeared to be heavily intoxicated. Maybe he was dizzy. Maybe he was sick from the concussion. Investigators do not know precisely where the attack occurred, and they were seeking a second interview with Mr. DeGraw to get a closer account. We also have another piece of audio. What is this, man? Oh, this is the only piece of audio. We have the song. I thought this was something else.
No, that's Barack Obama, unless you want to play that.
Yes, of course. We also have this from Mr. DeGraw.
Yes, the president does plan to travel with his family.
Okay.
That wasn't President Obama.
That was another piece of audio I just threw in. All right, so detectives have tried to reconstruct Mr. DeGraw's movements with footage from a surveillance camera, but that's going to take some time. So the big fat mystery on why Mr. DeGraw was beat up and just how much booze, if any, he had in his system, this is going to be deviling us for many, many years to come. We'll be back with more World Famous Phil Henry Show. Barack Obama.
Phil Henry.
My God.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And I've noticed, Bud and Robert, ever since we've said truth is our bitch on the show, you notice I mentioned all the stations that are now calling themselves The Truth.
Yeah, you're going to get a piece of that, right?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to get a piece. No, I'm not going to get a piece of that. I won't get a piece of that. But we will remind people that it was us that invented the phrase truth is our bitch and that other radio stations picked up on. Ultimately, probably the benefactor will be some other, entity. I don't care. You know, I got a million of them. But I just noticed that. And when you say, well, the truth. Okay, what do you mean the truth? You know, when we say the truth is our bitch on this show, it means we go wherever it leads and we don't. I'm not sitting here, I'm not playing some Tea Party or progressive thing. That's what I mean. I'm not playing that, and we're not going to go there and talk, you know, that boring Obama's the problem for everything. These guys that go on and on and on about that, man, I don't know. Do you guys understand just how lousy you are? You jackasses that are doing a radio show, I don't know who the hell you are. I don't know where you're from. I don't know what experience you got in the radio business. But do you know that when you are just hammering that Obama thing morning, noon, and night, do you know how lousy you sound? I mean, to anybody that's got ears in their head. And the same can be said for the liberals, but I got to tell you, most of the stuff I hear is this conservative just harangue. And as I said the other day, 99% of those guys are lying. They're just saying that stuff because they figure that's what's going to pull an audience. Does it? We'll see. You'd be surprised. Mark Levine, and I know Mark, and he's a very nice man. Mark Levine doesn't pull any ratings. He doesn't pull any in Los Angeles. I don't know where. I think in New York, which is his home market. I think he does well. But he doesn't have anybody listening to him to any great degree. And don't give me this bull crap about how, well, we looked at the national satellite numbers. You know, you give a guy enough money, man, and he'll report any number you want him to report. So don't give me that stuff. I would love to look at the national satellite or whatever, the radar numbers. I'd love to see that. I'd like to see an actual radar number that's not influenced by somebody paying somebody some money. But I happen to know that some of these hosts that you might think are boffo box office, they're getting their ass kicked. So this is what I mean about where is the reality, really? You would think that it's right there in Sean Hannity's backyard. And there's another great guy. Sean's a terrific guy. And you may think reality lies solely in his purview, or Michael Savage, or whoever. Well, you're wrong. You're just being told that. Now let's take a look at Michelle Bachmann. Is she nuts?
Based on that picture.
You shut up about the picture.
What about that picture, man?
The Michelle Bachmann, you mean on Newsweek?
Yeah, I looked at that picture the other day. And she looked like she's a man. She looks like she's ready to come unglued. Like she go after a man. Just go after your face.
Yeah, she didn't look too healthy on that one picture, what I seen.
First of all, that picture was the biggest cheap shot going.
You were just talking about conservatives being douchebags. Well, you talk about it now.
Why don't you speak English, huh?
Yeah, what are you saying?
I said, you're just talking about conservatives being douchebag duped out now.
You know what? Will you quit mumbling, man?
What?
You're going, do. I don't even know what you're saying.
I said, you were talking.
Will you shut up? I know what you said. I was talking about conservatives being douchebags. No, I didn't say they're douchebags. I said the line of the horse dung that's being pitched around this freaking country on conservative and liberal radio is enough to make you choke, man. Now, what happened to Michelle Bachmann with that Newsweek cover, this is what I mean when I say that I am an eminently fair man. And what does that mean? It means that I am interested in what is truth. Truth
is our bitch.
Truth is our bitch. Thank you, Robert. Michelle Bachmann, I may like her, I may not like her. I personally don't think she's presidential material. And I have many, many reasons to think that. But Newsweek, you guys are so desperate with your 1.3 million subscribers, half the subscribers that Time, which is also a rag, has. You're so desperate to do what? What exactly are you doing? Tell me that. Would you please, Newsweek, please? Bud, you be Newsweek and I'll be me.
What do you mean?
There, perfect. That's Newsweek.
What?
Just, Mr. Newsweek, what are you doing?
What?
Thank you. Bud, all you got to be is yourself and you're Newsweek. You guys know, editorial, what do you stand for editorially? What do you stand for? Now, you get a picture of a woman who is tired. You know she's had migraine headaches. That's nothing to laugh about. I don't care who the hell you are or what your problem is in life. You got to understand that a migraine headache is one of life's real horrific experiences. It's a horrifying pain. You're blind. You can't get a thing done. You're sick to your stomach. You can't move without wanting to vomit. You can't hear anything without wanting to just vomit. It is a terrible, terrible condition. It's caused by a number of things. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the great Los Angeles Lakers center, he suffered from migraine headaches. And it was in his neck. the alignment of his neck. And he went to chiropractors. He had treatments. There were some games where this man hit the floor with a migraine headache. I don't even know what the hell that must be like. Well, she has these. So now they take a picture of Michelle Bachmann. Her eyes are wide. She looks like she's stunned. It's, you know, she's not at her most attractive. And they slap it on the cover of Newsweek magazine with Queen of Rage. Now, that is a cheap shot, an editorial comment by a dying weekly news magazine that I got to give it to them. I hadn't thought about Newsweek magazine. It's possibly in decades. I haven't read anything in Newsweek. I haven't purchased a Newsweek. About the only time I ever read Newsweek is if I'm sitting in a doctor's office and I've gotten through all of the Field and Stream, some of the Car and Driver, and like a 1991 edition of Surfer magazine, then and only then do I look into the Newsweek.
Yeah, one time I was reading Boy's Life. Oh, man. No, not like that.
Yeah, so you'd rather read Boy's Life, huh? Okay.
Boy, man. Shut up.
We're kidding you, okay? Take it easy. Boy's Life? Where would you be?
In a dentist's office.
In the dentist? Oh, okay. I remember when I was a kid, I'd go to the dentist and they had Highlights. Anybody remember Highlights magazine?
Yeah, I remember that. They had like a game and everything. Yeah, they had like crossword puzzles.
Right. That was the kid magazine they used to have in the dentist's office. But that's beside the point. What I'm saying is, you take a picture, and God knows on any given day, folks, you can take pictures of anybody. Now, I know that there are a lot of progressive, liberal, Democrat, douchebag, whatever the hell you call yourself out there, say, oh, come on, Henry. I get it, man, okay? But, you know, you guys, you got to really lay off of, first of all, progressives, with the exception of maybe Randy Rhodes, are not funny. Well, okay, maybe I like Randy, though. She's just, I don't know why I think she's funnier than Stephen Colbert or that other douchebag, Jon Stewart. She just is. And most of the stuff, like I see in the Huffington Post under their humor, Huffington Post has a humor section. That in and of itself is funny. But when they had that one guy with the blog and he was attacking the Down syndrome, the afflicting one of Sarah Palin's children or grandchildren, I forget which, I thought, wow, that's, you talk about desperate. But, I mean, the fact is that they do that. But when you take this picture of Bachmann, who I don't like her, and you stick it on the cover of Newsweek with the bugged-out eyes, and you call her the queen of rage, what are you doing, Newsweek? Other than what are you doing, man? Are you like in the wake of the Huffington Post now? Is that what you are? You're just a pilot fish for other more interesting liberal sites? You know, I mean, the Huffington Post, even though it doesn't get certain things right, like it's never gotten a humor thing, but they've evolved into a fairly, fairly good little news site if you can overlook some of the more sickening aspects. Same thing goes, though, for Daily Beast, Politico, Drudge. All of them have evolved and have gotten better in time, but Newsweek magazine is so lost, like so many of the traditional news outlets, Time Magazine, New York Times, L.A. Times, even the surviving behemoths of the old days of news gathering, is so out of touch, so out of step, so stiff and lost that they got to stick a picture of Michelle Bachmann on the cover looking like she's half out of her mind. Now, I looked at that, and a lot of people said, boy, doesn't she look crazy? I said, yeah, well, but I bet you they could have found a few pictures that were a little more flattering. I don't know. You know?
That won the point, though. They think she's batty. They think she's half out of her mind, man. They think she's bat crap.
Yeah, if you think you're bat crap, what are you going to do?
Where is Newsweek's editorial stance on Michelle Bachmann? She's bat crap? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what they say. Then they put it on the cover.
Well, hold on for a minute. I thought Newsweek magazine was just a news magazine. I didn't know that they had an editorial stance on Michelle Bachmann. Are you telling me they now have an editorial stance on Michelle Bachmann where they want her to look like she's bat crap and she's, she hasn't got both oars in the water and she looks like she's ready to take a freaking knife to, you know, the private eye coming up the stairs in Psycho, you know?
Yeah, I look like Norman Bates' mom.
That's what you think she looks like?
Well, if your editorial policy, I don't know.
Yeah, that's, there you go. You don't know. You don't know. Now, I'll tell you what a story is in that family, and I don't know why they're ignoring it. You know it, and I know it. You know it, and I know it.
You're going to talk about her husband.
I'm going to talk about her husband. If you are, if you've taken a public stance opposed to gay marriage, which is your right, I let's face it, folks, President Obama is opposed to gay marriage. Mitt Romney is opposed to gay marriage. Now, it's interesting that this guy, Perry, is that his name? Who's the guy in Texas? Perry?
You don't even know what a governor of Texas is?
No, yes, I do. Rick Perry. Excuse me, bud. Rick Perry is in favor. He says it's a states' rights issue. That's about as dangerous a position as you could take as saying, no, I'm opposed to gay rights. If you leave human rights to the states, you're going to have what we had in the South in the 1950s. Same thing. That was states' rights, too. And if you leave human rights to a state, every individual state is going to have some different opinion on that. The feds are going to be involved eventually. But I will give it to Perry in that he deftly sidestepped the issue by simply saying, well, it's a states' rights issue. All right. Having said all of that, Michelle Bachmann is on record as being opposed to it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I say this with the greatest of respect. There are a great many in the gay community who believe that Michelle Bachmann is married to a gay man. Marcus Bachmann, in the minds of a great many, is homosexual.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. Where have you been, man?
Talked about it last week. I was out sick.
Oh, that's right. You guys weren't even here. Then how do you know I talked about it last week?
On account I listen to podcasts because I want to stay up on my job. I listen to podcasts, man. Don't tell me that you staying up on your job. I'll listen to them, too. Yeah, but I knew what was going. Hey.
Shut up, will you? All right, good for you. Thank you, bud. I appreciate it. Robert, whatever. Okay?
I'm just doing it. I'll listen to them.
All right, fine. But here's the thing. Marcus Bachmann, I don't care about this clinic he's got. All of this stuff is beside the point. He's gay. And he can be gay. There's nothing wrong with being gay. I suppose if you're a gay man, you can marry a straight woman if you want. But all of the denial on top of the opposition to gay rights, the hypocrisy and the denial, I mean, it is a modern American gothic horror show. A woman with migraine headaches and the eyes bugged out of her head as she embraces her gay husband, who is waving to people with both hands over the head, hi, as he goes down, you know, whatever he's doing. And, come on. That's the gothic horror show that is the Michelle Bachmann story. And I'm trying to be kind because, like I said, I don't know what sort of issues they've got going on in that family that she doesn't recognize this. She doesn't see this. And what is he doing? He's got this whole thing about getting people, you know, past their homosexuality. I would submit to you that a man who is devoted to a kind of a discipline or a pursuit as that, I would never call it anything scientific. It seems to be sort of a quasi-science that he's, you know, unveiling as he goes. You know, that's one way of dealing with your own urges.
Man, you better be right, man. A man will sue you for that.
He ain't going to sue me for what? Saying that he's gay? What the hell is he going to sue me for? It's not a slanderous statement. It's like saying he's got green eyes when he's got blue. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But it's, you know, if you got green eyes, oh no, I've got blue eyes. I'm going to sue you for saying I have green eyes. Are you stupid? Well, nonetheless, that's why I believe that that guy opened up that clinic. That's why I believe that he's involved in the work that he's involved in. His wife has found a great friend in life, I'm sure. I'm sure that he's a good man to her. There's no question that there's love there. I'm not disputing any of that. And that she relies on him and that he's there for her and all of the things that a good marriage should be. I'm just simply saying that on top of all of that, there is this, you know, he's a homosexual. And I don't know if they've talked about that or dealt with that in their family. And I think it is something that voters would be very much interested in knowing about. I'm just telling you right now. You know,
well, what they find out, what comes out and say he's gay.
Well, if he was to come out and say he's gay, which he's never going to do, that would obviously turn on its head a great many things in her campaign, not to mention her own ability to deal with and see things. If he doesn't, but it continues to become an issue, it's still going to derail. Or he doesn't, and it doesn't, and it's not an issue, which I think is what they're hoping for. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, then maybe she's got a shot. Right now, she's at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to polling. Ahead of her is Romney. Who's the other guy? Perry. Perry just Perry is pushing Romney for the lead, and one other. All right, we'll be back to wrap up here. Our final segment, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, our website, philhendryshow.com. Log on, get a backstage pass, watch our live streaming video every night, or watch the archived video the next day at philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, who says we've got a recession going on or a money squeeze going on or anything having to do with not enough bread for not enough stuff? Why, we couldn't possibly have any problems because the SETI Institute has received more than $200,000 in donations from fans who want them to continue looking for people from outer space. So we ain't got no money squeeze, I see.
Yeah, but that's spare change, man.
Oh, it's spare change, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know how many people.
Oh, don't give me that dung. You know, I'm telling you right now, you know, I've never believed, every time they say, well, the money's tight, this and that, of course money isn't, it's not all that tight. When we talk about America being in recession, or even America in depression, there is a certain class, the working class, get nailed. There's no question. In the 30s, of course, before we had the social safety nets, you had people living in tent cities. It was a very desperate time. But today in America, when we have a recession or we have a down economy, we have more perception of bad times than we actually have bad times, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, what I mean is this, bud. We got a lot of people talking about bad times. But how many people are really suffering bad times? Now, but before you answer, just hold on for a minute. I know about being unemployed. First of all, let's talk about unemployed. I've been unemployed. I've been on unemployment insurance. Nobody need to tell me about being unemployed. I get it. I've been out of work. I've looked for work. I've lived on very little money. I've been broke. I've lived it all, baby. I haven't been in poverty, but the fact is that what Americans are going through right now, I've had to deal with that stuff. You know? So being unemployed, and someone can say to me, well, I've been unemployed for 2 years. I've been unemployed for 3 years. You know, until I talk individually with people, I don't really know what's going on there. Forgive me, but I just don't. Now, the thing that I'm saying is, when we talk about bad times in this country, most of the time we're talking about perception, not reality. And what I mean by that is, wow, times are really bad. Well, are you unemployed? No. Well, are you making your house pay? Well, yeah, but I mean, you don't have enough money for what, Knott's Berry Farm? That's what we mean when we talk about bad times in America. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Dan Northcraft. Our associate producers, Chris Johnson and Fred Scotty. And our good friend Jason Rantz will be moving on down the line at the end of this month into a managerial position in the broadcast business, baby. That means we've got friends at the top. That's right. So we congratulate Jace. He is irreplaceable, and so that's why we won't be replacing him. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com as well. Tune in. Look at the video cast. Listen to the archives. Do it. Do something. Anything, but do it now.
Phil Hendry.